is dedicated to this period of time during the very last week of the Lord's ministry. And we're coming up on some very amazing passages in chapter 24 and chapter 25 and chapter 24 especially. There's going to be some interesting prophecy to be given. And it's just God taking time to teach us before the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. And we need to be taught, amen? Many years ago, before I went into the ministry, I had a job and I was working in the computer industry and I was a computer programmer and spent most of my time as an independent consultant going into a situation and figure out what needs to be done and doing it. And I didn't realize it at the time until I quit doing it, but it really felt good to have somebody come to me and say, "Wow, you did a good job." There's nothing wrong with praising folks for doing a good job, amen? But Brother Mendez and I have talked about this. He did the same thing. He'd go into situations with General Electric and some problem nobody could solve, and he would solve it. And it feels good to have somebody tell you, "Hey, you're good at what you do." But you got to be careful, because at some point in time, if you're not careful, you can wind up seeking all the praise for yourself. You and I, as born-again Christians, what we ought to hear people say is not how good we are, but how good our God is. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it," the Bible says. This passage in Matthew chapter 23 is about the Pharisees, and it is a condemnation of the way that they conduct themselves, but it's also a lesson for us. And what you're going to see at the very end of this passage, we're going to read the first 12 verses. He says in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 23, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And what you need to know is that word "exalted" means to be honored. I would like to think that when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, that he would say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that he would recognize that the way I had lived my life was honorable. But the way to accomplish that is not by honoring yourself, but by honoring God. And if we honor God in this life, if we honor him, he'll honor us when we meet him one day. The Pharisees are the exact picture of what not to do. And before I read the passage, I want to explain a couple of things to you. And so if you're there in Matthew chapter 23, if you would look at verse, let's see where we're at here. Oh, I got to find the word here. Verse 5. Matthew 23, 5. He says, "All their works they do to be seen of men." It says, "They make broad their phylacteries." What is a phylactery? Well, the Pharisees would wear, it was a small leather box, and they might wear it on their forearm, or I understood somebody told me they might wear it even on their forehead, but they would wear it somewhere on their body. And what it was a box that contained Hebrew scriptures, and it was there to remind them of how important the law is. Now, folks, it was a symbol of religion is what it was. Symbols of religion are not what God's looking for. He wants to see Christ in our heart. And if Christ lives in your heart and you're obedient to him and you love him like we just sang that we did, people are going to see the evidence without having to have a box on your forehead. On the contrary, however, some people have all sorts of religious symbols, but their heart's empty. Because the religious symbol is something you simply put on your body. But Christ, when he's in your heart, now that's going to change your life. So a phylactery was a symbol of religion. And then he says at the end of verse 5, they would enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, this, and you don't need to turn there, but this is mentioned back in Numbers chapter 15. And again, God commanded them to have a garment border that was of blue, and it was to remind them once again of the commandments of God. And so they would wear these things, and they would make them very prominent so that when they were seen in public, that people could say, "Oh, look, there goes a religious man. There goes a man that is a religious leader. Look how good he is." But Jesus says, that's not what's honorable. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 23. And we'll ask God to speak to us today on how to live a life that's worthy of honor. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I want you to do something with me, if you would, please. I want to read verse 11 out loud before we pray. Let's read this together, if we could. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you, and this morning we acknowledge that we need help. The facts and the teachings in this passage are rather clear, but Lord, our hearts can sometimes be blinded, or it can be hardened, or it can be distracted, so that we would not see the application of these things in our life. God, I know that we would like to think of ourselves as humble, as being servants, as not seeking the attention of men. But Lord, we're all susceptible to that. It's very easy for us to point our fingers at the Pharisees and to condemn them for what they do. But Lord, help us to remember what we do and help us to learn from this passage. And God, I pray that we would have a desire in our heart to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we step into eternity, and to have that honor that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and not from men. And Lord, I ask you to bless our time now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and they took him to that place, and they nailed him to that cross, and they held him up, put that cross up to publicly humiliate him, men looked at him as one who was guilty, and men looked at him as one who was condemned. The Bible tells us that the disciples forsook him and fled. And we also know that the only people that were there once the tomb was sealed were a couple of women that had stayed around. But pretty much everybody that saw that thought of him as someone who had been condemned, who had been convicted, who was to be rejected. In fact, the Bible says he was despised and rejected. And yet, on that day, what was God thinking? What was in the mind of God as Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross? God forsook him, I understand that, but the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed God to the death. And because of that, and the Bible explains this better than I can by ad-libbing, but because of that, the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted above all names. And the Bible says that in the Revelation, when they sought one who was worthy, the only one that was worthy was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth because of what he did for you and I and his willingness. And so while men would look in the situation in one regard and say, I never would want to be in that place, I never would want to have that happen to me, and you know, there's a reasoning behind that. But anyway, God looks at that and says, this is what pleases me, this is what pays for sin. I'm trying to make the point that God sees things differently than men see things. We need to be very careful. The Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And you know, and I don't need to name them, there are religious people, I'll use that phrase, leaders, let's call them that, religious leaders that walk on the face of the earth and men revere them and men look up to them. And yet, when we learn what they teach, we realize they don't even have the gospel that can save souls. And they certainly do not have the position of standing with the Bible against sin and against wickedness and against the world. Now, there are a lot of what we see here, there's a lot of this happening in the world. And it's easy, again, for us to look out and condemn that. But, folks, when I come to church, I hope God will work in my heart and show me some things that I might need to be careful about. And I think you'll see some of those here in this passage. And so we've seen these outward symbols of religion that they trusted in verse 5. It's interesting, in verse 3, it says that when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes spoke, Jesus says, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. It sounds to me like their message was the right message, at least to some extent, that they knew what was right. There was a problem, however. In verse 3, it says, they say and do not. So they had a good message, but they had a bad pattern of life. We're going to find out that that's one of the things that will keep us from being honored when we step into eternity. That word exalted in verse 12 means to be honored. And it says in verse 12, once again, whosoever shall exalt or honor himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so, a simple thought, how could we live a life that would be exalted by God, which would be, in other words, pleasing to God, which would be honorable in God's eyes? And we use the Pharisees as the counterexample, or the thing not to do. And you'll see three things that jump out clearly in this passage. And the first of those, very simply, would be this. You need to pursue the honor of God's word, not just in what you say, but in what you do. Pursue the honor of God's word, not just in what you say, but in what you do. I had a doctor one time I went to in Texas. I went to him once. That was enough. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but this fella could stand to eat a few less donuts. Amen? And he smoked. And all that worried me, but the thing that really worried me the most, his name was Dr. Payne. And I thought to myself, that's not a good name for a doctor. I wonder how he got that name. And I went to him with an illness that I pretty much knew what was wrong with me. And he kind of gave me a runaround. At the end of the day, I went and found a different doctor. You know, there are a lot of people that will tell you that you need to do this and need to do that if you want to please God. But the best way to tell somebody something is by doing it. The Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 3, let me read the whole verse. He says, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Folks, what we say ought to be what we do. Amen? Now, we could apply this 100 different ways. If I say to you, you ought to be faithful to church, I ought to be faithful to church. Amen? And oh, by the way, and I heard this preached one time and it stuck with me. What's good for the pastor is good for the flock. Amen? If it's good for me to be in church, it's good for you to be in church. If it's good for me to pray and read my Bible, it's good for you to pray and read your Bible. If it's good for me to go on visitation, it's good for you to go on visitation. And you understand the concept here. The Pharisees were big on talk, and they were very small on performance. Folks, it's not what we say that makes a difference. It's what we do that makes a difference through God and with God working through us. We all agree, praise God, Pastor, let's have a vacation Bible school, now called Fall Bible Camp. And you know, it's a good idea, and everyone says, I'm all in favor of this. But if you're really in favor of it, you need to come out to the planning meeting tonight. Amen? You know, I can say, and I do, I can say it's important to go to the gym. The trouble is, I'm not going right now. I can say it's important to eat right. Maybe I'm not eating right now. What you say isn't what matters, it's what you do that matters. Amen? And so be careful that you don't be like the Pharisees. This is not an honorable thing. What they did was they said one thing, but they didn't do it. Do what we say or don't say it. And then, interestingly enough, in verse 4, it comes down to burdens. It says, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In other words, they're really happy to tell you what to do, but they're not willing to do it. And folks, that's not going to be honored by God. If you're going to tell somebody something out of the Bible, you ought to be able to live it. Amen? Now, there's a second thing, and this comes down onto verses 5 through 7. There's this idea, first of all, that we should pursue the honor of God's word, not just in word, but also by doing it. But we need to pursue the honor of God's will. Now, look at verse 5. All their works they do for to be seen of men. That's a strong statement. If nobody saw what you did, would you still do it? If nobody saw whether or not you prayed, would you still pray? If nobody saw whether or not you read your Bible, would you still read your Bible? Now, sometimes people will see you, but a lot of times they won't. Heard a great message one time. Fellow was talking about the people that built the temple. And if you remember, in the Old Testament temple, there were some really tall pillars. And those pillars were, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet high. I forgot the number right now, but they were way up there. And at the top of that pillar, there is a thing. It's called a capital. It's just the thing that the top of the pillar uses to hold whatever's above it. And it would have intricate carving in it. And why was that carving there? Because God said, put it there. And the fellow doing that carving on that top of that pillar that's going to be way up in the air, when he's done with that carving, they're going to put that pillar up there. And guess what? Nobody can really see if he did a good job or not. Oh, wait a minute. One person can. God can see. Amen? Folks, the thing you and I do in our life, a lot of people are never going to be able to tell whether we did a good job or not. But God knows. The Pharisees, these were some men that if they were being watched, oh, they were going to be a performer. If there was an offering to give, they were going to be sure to be seen dropping the money. And if there was a prayer to be made, they were going to be sure that people heard them pray. And those symbols of religion that they had, they made them as big as they can. Here's the problem. Do you want to be seen by men or do you want to be seen by God? Do you want to please men or do you want to please God? And folks, the fact of the matter is, if you don't please anybody except God, you did good. Amen. A lot of the time, people are never going to see what you did. You might hand a tract out at a grocery store. Two people knew about it, you and the person that got it. But God saw it. You might come to the church and clean, and I've done this. All of us, a lot of us have done it. Maybe you're here by yourself cleaning. And nobody sees the fact that you made sure that you ran the vacuum cleaner really well. Well, they might see the evidence maybe, but maybe not. But folks, God sees what we do. And I'm glad it works that way because I'd rather be rewarded by God than rewarded by men. And when you get to heaven, there are going to be all these things that you did for God and nobody saw them except God, and He's going to reveal them. And people are going to know then. But what's more important is God knows now. Amen? And so it comes back to the fact that when I serve God, when I pray to God, when I read my Bible, when I spend time with God, when I confess my sins to God, when I am serving alone and no one sees me, if you think that's a waste of time, you forgot about the most important person. God sees you. Amen? And God knows our heart. He sees things nobody can see. So don't do what you do to be seen. Do what you do to please God. Don't love the way people see you. Love the way Christ sees you. How does Christ see you? You know, young people are fascinating because they get the idea that if nobody's watching, they can get away with things. You know what's funny? I shouldn't tell them this secret, but you know that God tells Brother Mendez things about you that you didn't think he knew? I'll go ahead and take that one further. God tells me things about people that you didn't think I knew either. And I can't tell you how many times God brought something to me, information to me, about a church member that needed some help or needed a situation dealt with or whatever. And God just gave it to me. I'm not talking about letters in the sky or telegrams or emails, but somehow God will let us know the things we need to know. Sometimes God deals with it. You say, I was wicked and nobody saw it. God saw it. And you know what? God deals with those kind of things. If you live to please men, you're making a big mistake. You need to live to please Christ. Now, we talked about honoring God's word, honoring God's will. What it really comes down to is not pursuing or not going after honor for yourself. As you begin to read what these people enjoyed, beginning in verse 6 and 7, the things that they wanted are things that we might all like. But here's the interesting thing. When God gives them to you, they're far more valuable than when you just get them for yourself or take them for yourself. So watch this list. This might help you a little bit. He says in verse 6, their works they do to be seen. I'm sorry, verse 5, their works they do to be seen. And he says in verse 6, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. In other words, they love to be important. They love to be popular. They love to be first. Aren't children that way a lot of the time? They want to be first. Well, sometimes adults are as well, aren't we? We want to be first. The Bible says the last shall be first and the first last. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts, that prominent place, that place of importance, and the chief seats in the synagogues. You know, when they came to the synagogue, there were some special seats set aside for special people. They wanted to be sitting in that seat so that someone could see them. You know, what makes you special in man's eyes may mean nothing to God. And what makes you special in God's eyes may never be seen by men. And folks, if we would seek to please God, we'll please the right men. But if we seek to please God, we'll always please Him. If we just seek to please men, a lot of the time we're going to displease God in the process. Now, they sought popularity. They sought recognition. And then in verses 7, in verse 8, in verse 9, in verse 10, we see this thought repeated over and over. In verse 7, they love the greetings in the markets. They like that popularity. They like the people to say, hey, oh, you're such a great guy. And he says this, and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi. He says, and in verse 7, he says, or verse 8, he says, but be not ye called rabbi, which means master, by the way, for one is your master, even Christ. Now, let me kind of finish this and I'll tie this all together. He says, don't be called rabbi. He says in verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth. Whoa, halt, stop. Isn't there a religion that kind of goes after that one? Somebody comes to me and says, you need to call me father. I know we got a problem in the Bible, don't we? Because the Bible says not to call anybody father. You have one father, and that's God. Now, I'm not talking about dad. You know, you've got a dad on this earth, a father on this earth. But when it comes to this kind of father, the Catholic priest is not your father. God is. And by the way, the reason he wants you to call him father is because he thinks he stands in the place of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that stands in that place. And he's a usurper of that authority when he wants you to call him that. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so that's good enough for now. Look at verse 9. He says, call no man your father. He says, verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You know what they wanted? They wanted to be a father over others. They wanted to be a master of others. They wanted to be the rabbi, the teacher of others. And folks, those are all places that God holds exclusively. Look at what he says there, for example, not to be called father. You have a father in heaven, amen? Not to be called master. Christ is your master. Don't seek those titles that belong to God. And I warn you, don't follow people that do. You say, well, pastor, I'm just a nobody. Praise God. If you're nobody, then maybe Jesus is everything, amen? And I carry the title pastor, which means shepherd. But I'll tell you this right now, Brother Mendez and I talk about this from time to time. I'll serve God however God wants me to serve Him. Amen. When I'm not pastoring a church, I'm still in church. I'm still going on visitation with the church. I'll still clean the church. I'll still drive the bus, whatever needs to be done. And that has no reflection on me. The simple point is this. Are you willing to serve God whether people see you or not? Are you willing to serve God whether you have a title or not? I know a good title, janitor. Yeah. Amen. So I'm just a janitor. No, you're a janitor for Jesus. Amen. I'm glad we have people that clean the church. We don't have one janitor. I get phone calls every now and then from people that would like to do this for us. They say, we'd come and clean your church if you'll give us money. Well, we clean the church because God gives us rewards in heaven. Amen? Amen. And by the way, if you want to help clean the church, Brother Mendez could sign you up today. Amen. And you can be a part of that, and God would reward you for it. Be a person that doesn't pursue honor for yourself, not the popularity, not the titles. Christ is your master. God is your father. Folks, don't seek to be. It all comes down to this. Verse 11, there's that word greatest. Don't seek to be greater than somebody else. Does it really matter how important I am, or does it matter how important God is? Does it matter how important others see you to be? Or wouldn't you rather have them see God as being important? And you know what makes God important? Watch this. When you decide, I'm going to say what God says, I'm going to obey what God says to obey, I'm going to do what God says to do, nobody's going to pat me on the back and thank me for it. Maybe. Probably. Who knows? Nobody needs to see what I'm doing for God. Nobody needs to know how faithful I am. You know, there are some people that are incredibly faithful, and some not so much so. But I'm not keeping track. God is. Nobody needs to see how well you did the job. God saw it. Nobody needs to see how often you did the job. God saw that too. I don't need to be important to men. I need to be pleasing to God. Because, folks, one day the truth is going to come out. And that's what he's talking about here at the end of the passage. He says it pretty clearly. He says, don't try to be greater than other men in verse 11. Just be a servant. You know what a servant is? We really can't appreciate that in our society, because in our society, everybody has to have rights. Well, I've got my civil rights, and I've got my legal rights, and I've got my social rights, and I've got, folks, a servant doesn't have any rights. A servant just serves. And when the master, the Lord says, here's what I want you to do, the servant doesn't say, well, that violates my rights. No, we just do it, amen? It doesn't matter whether you clean a toilet or whether you baptize somebody, or whether you run the sound booth or whether you run the vacuum cleaner. It doesn't matter whatever you do, if you're doing it for God, that's what matters. That's what's important, amen? You say, well, if I do a whole lot, maybe people will think I'm more important. Folks, the only one important around here is God. The rest of us are his servants. And I've seen in churches, sadly, people that will live more like the Pharisees than the servant, and it's very damaging to the church. This is not a contest to see who's most important. This is a fellowship of believers that were sinners bound for hell, and Christ saved us, and God gave us a Bible to live by, and God gave us a Holy Spirit to live in us, and God gave us a place to serve him. And God expects us to get along with each other and love each other, not worry about who's most important, not worry about who gets seen doing what, and go out and lead the world to Christ. On Tuesday night at 5:30, we're going to go into the neighborhoods. I think Tuesday we're going to go to the trailer court over here and just focus on it exclusively. And when we go over there, you're going to have your ice chest full of popsicles. Brother Mendez will have his, I guess. I don't know if you're going to be able to walk that far. And I'm going to have a ice chest full of popsicles, and off we go. I'm not going to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm the pastor. I'm the most important one here. I'm going to give you a popsicle. It doesn't matter who I am, does it? No, you know what matters? I came on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be important? Represent Christ. You want to be important? Serve Christ. You want to be important, do it so that he can see what we're doing. Now, again, I suspect that some of us would say, That's where I am, Pastor. That's where I am. And if that's where you are, good, keep it up. Amen? But you got to be careful, because the devil's very subtle. And the devil will come to you, and the devil will... Here's one of the devil's tricks. He'll say to you, church member, nobody appreciates what you're doing. Why? When was the last time anybody thanked you? Or when was the last time anybody told you you did a good job? When was the last time anybody gave you a reward for what you're doing? The devil will say to you, see, they don't care about you. Well, first of all, we do care, amen? But I want you to know who really cares. God cares. And when you serve God, in spite of the fact that people don't pat you on the back or tell you how good you are or give you a thank you card or whatever, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but that's not why we serve. We serve to please God. Say, Pastor, nobody appreciates it. God appreciates it. And by the way, you'll be exalted one day for serving like that. I've seen people quit. I could tell you stories. I could tell you names you know of people that have quit because they didn't get enough recognition. Don't let the devil do that to you. Sunday morning comes and you say to yourself, you know, I'm really tired today. I think I'll skip Sunday school, or I think I'll skip church, or, you know, nobody will notice if I'm not there. That's not true. I notice when you're not here. And I notice when people aren't here today. I know who they are. I worry about them. And I know one that's not here for a good reason. May Angel had a baby. And we got to get that nursery going, by the way, brother. And get that place up for that baby to be. That's how I understand that. But it doesn't matter what I see. It's what God sees. Amen? When I was in college, I got an assignment one time. And it was to write this certain computer program. And I knew some tricks. And I used a couple of them. And what it did was it hid my work under the covers so the instructor couldn't see what I had really done. And it was a senior level project, and it was really complicated. And so I hid some of the work, and sure enough, the instructor didn't see it, and he gave me an A. I probably deserved a B minus, I'm supposing. But you know what? God saw what I did. You took something and nobody saw it. God saw. You didn't do what you said you would do. God saw. You did what you said you would do, and nobody knew it except you. God knew it. Amen? You see, the Pharisees' theory was, as long as people think I'm doing good, who cares what God thinks? Turn that around. As long as God's pleased, I like to please people, but I'd a lot rather please God. Amen? See, we might be a little more like the Pharisee than we're willing to admit, because after all, sometimes we say and we don't do. Sometimes we pursue honor for ourselves instead of pursuing honor for God. And sometimes we try to get people to recognize us instead of seeing Christ in us. Folks, I want Christ to be seen in us as a church. Amen? People would say, oh, that Vision Baptist Church, that's a great church. They go out and they find children and bring them in, and they're a blessing to them. And people don't understand we're trying to get the gospel to them, but they're pleased that we're serving children. And I don't mind having the neighborhood see us serve children, but I really like it that God sees us serve children. Or whoever we serve. Amen? What does God see in your life? That's the question. The Pharisee didn't recognize that. We need to. Amen? And let me tell you something else. I've been in churches, and maybe this one as well. I couldn't say for sure right now. But I've been in churches where everybody thought somebody was saved. Only trouble is they weren't. I was in a pastor's meeting in Lubbock, Texas. Oh, I don't know, that would have probably been 2005 or so. And this man stood up and preached a message, and the church secretary came forward and got saved. And you say, well, wow, wasn't she saved already? Everybody thought so, but she knew better. You can deceive all the men you want. You can make everybody think. Judas Iscariot, for 3.5 years, had the disciples convinced he was one of them. But in the end, the truth's going to come out. And say, well, isn't it great that everybody thinks I'm saved? What's really great is when God knows you're saved. Amen? And if you know you're not saved, just because men think you're saved isn't going to get you into heaven. If you know you're not saved, Just because people think you're okay doesn't mean you're okay. Because one of these days you're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to say, if you're not saved, he's going to say to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Because God knows, amen? Honorable life is a life that honors God, not that pleases men. It may be that it pleases men, but let's honor God first, amen? Let's all stand and pray.